Okay, guys, welcome to the show. This is Deborah Gets Red-Pilled, episode somewhere in the 120s.
121.
There's probably
unless
some
you've done
sort
some...
of gematria there. What do you think, Deborah?
Well, I think, I don't know.
Yeah, well, it's Friday the 13th.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's
my lucky day.
I think it's the first time that we've ever recorded an episode on a Friday the 13th. So, Deborah, do you know why Friday the 13th has any significance?
No, I do not.
I think ChudX does, right?
Well, you know, I thought I did for a long time, but I have recently from other avenues realized that was incorrect.
My understanding is it is the day that Jacques de Molay was burned at the stake.
Yeah. Okay. So that's basically what I thought. I thought it was the day that the Templars, I thought it was a Friday, the 13th of the year 1313 that the Templars were executed, which Jacques de Molay was one of them. But I've seen elsewhere that happened in 1314. Mm-hmm. And there are two dates I've seen that no one can agree on. So it could have been Friday the 13th, but like the you know, Wikipedia page level entry would say, I can't remember what they were, but it was like March 11th or 18th, but no 13th in there.
Got it.
So I don't know as much anymore as, I mean, I would have said that for years. I would have said, yeah, it was a Friday the 13th when the Templars were executed.
Yeah, nearly everything I know about it came from listening to my favorite American oi band, the Templars from New York City. They have all sorts of awesome imagery and lyrics about it. And if you ever come over, I'll show you my record collection of them. I have tens of records of theirs, and it's pretty cool.
Awesome. I want to check them out. You've mentioned them a couple times, and the name intrigues me, that's for sure. You say it's like oi punk?
Yeah.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, they've been at it since 1992. So I've seen them a whole bunch of times. I'm friends with the drummer, but I don't know if he would be friends with me anymore after this whole ordeal.
Yeah, you mentioned that they're not good on stuff.
yeah. But other than that, I'm back from vacation, guys. You want an update?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Well, Puerto Rico is fast asleep. Like, it is a masked up hellhole. It is awful. I could not believe it. I always said, you know, we don't get a chance to go on very many vacations, but I always, part of the reason I never went to California to visit Deborah was I was like, I'm not going to go to a place. I live in a pretty locked down place. I'm like, I'm not leaving where I live to go someplace more locked down. And that's exactly what I did. It was a really awesome vacation though. I didn't have to wear a mask anywhere, but there's no mandates in Puerto Rico, but everybody is wearing a mask there, and it is so hot there. You know, I woke up at 8 a.m. and it'd be like 80 degrees already and like inching up towards 80% humidity, and then it would end the day like 90 with like 88% humidity. And I do well in it, you know. I would not do well if I had to like go do construction in it or like go build a fence, but on vacation where I can go to the beach or sit in an air conditioning room, I do perfectly well. Sure. And it's amazing how much easier it is to get out of bed in the morning when it's warm out. Cause I got back here and we got back yesterday and I slept today and woke up at like 6:30. I was like, okay, I got to get up. And it's like, man, it's cold. It's still in the 30s in the morning here. I remember Jim Gale, when he came on and talked to Emily and I, when we were still doing our show, he told us, he was talking about like Wim Hof breathing and taking cold showers and stuff. And it's like, dude, you live in Florida. Come take a shower.
Yeah.
Come take a shower at my house in December. Come take a cold shower. See what happens.
When it's 20 degrees outside.
And I don't have heat in my house. Come take a cold shower, dude.
Right.
But yeah, I took nothing but pretty much cold showers while we were there. But yeah,
imagine going through your day with that humidity and that heat with a mask.
Yeah. So I like, yeah, I woke up, you know, one of the first days I heard the garbage man outside. Now I'm interested in garbage collectors, always have been since I was a little kid. And I went and looked out the window, and yeah, the two guys are loading the garbage cans the old fashioned way, you know, like dumping the actual can in there. And they're using like, they were doing barrels. They have big, like 55 gallon barrels as trash cans there. And it's, yeah, it's 80 degrees, 80% humidity, and they're wearing masks. Yeah, it is nuts. There's, I saw people in gloves, plastic gloves at the grocery store. So yeah, it's February of 2020 there. And,
yeah, that's crazy. Weird.
I wonder what it was like in March of 2020.
Yeah. A whole
Did
bunch
of take them a while to get to the stage that they're at, you know, cause yeah. I mean, we turned on a switch and it was like that overnight. Yeah. I wonder if it took a while or,
yeah,
I don't know.
And, yeah, a whole bunch of restaurants you go in and they like have a spray bottle full of rubbing alcohol. And they're like, put your hands out. And it's just like, no, thank you. And then like, we did like a super touristy kayak trip to go at nighttime. It was pretty cool. You get to like go through this little channel through these like mangrove trees. And then you end up in this big lagoon and you're supposed to be able to see the bioluminescence. But the salinity was all screwed up because of the hurricane they had there in 2017, I guess. And that affects the amount you can see it. But I saw it a little bit. But yeah, like we're waiting there. We're like putting on our life jackets and they're giving, it's like a tourist group, you know, they're giving everybody this spiel and all the safety stuff, like what to do. And then like this other guy's like coming around, like he's like, with rubbing alcohol and like spraying everybody. I was just like, oh no, thank you. And I just like watched and he just went, everybody did it. And it was at this big like cul-de-sac that had like five companies that do these kayak tours. And like some, like the whole group of like 25 people were all wearing masks. It is so nuts. And then we went to San Juan, which is like the big city there. It's a really awesome city. It's like over 500 years old. And that's where it was really nuts. We had to get some stuff at Walgreens and we went in and the lady came up and was like, oh, you need a mask, and like tried to hand us masks. We're like, no, thank you. And she's like, oh, you need them in the pharmacy. And we're like, no. And Emily goes, we're just going to buy this stuff and then we're going to leave. Like, that's not what everybody does.
Yeah, that's what stores are for.
Yeah. And she goes, oh, okay. And like scurried off. And then we're waiting in line and like one of the checkers like sees us and like runs out from behind the counter and was like, yo, here's two masks for you. And we just go, no. And he goes, no. Like he couldn't believe that somebody had said no. And it's, I remember on Feed the Beauty, Bob said, Moral Bob told us, he's like, it's surprising how far you can get by just saying no. And that's, yeah, you know, just say no. And but it was crazy. Like when I'd say no to these people trying to spray my hands with rubbing alcohol, you could tell nobody had ever said no, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, it's that herd mentality. Like, well, if everybody's having this stuff sprayed on their hands, I don't want to be the weirdo who says no.
Yeah.
You know, it can't be poison if they're all putting it on. And, you know, these are nice people that are spraying it and all that kind of stuff. You know, I don't know.
Yeah. But
I was wondering if a bulk of the people that you saw there were tourists from other places.
No, the people not wearing masks are gringos from America, from the mainland. Hmm. And the way I went and we stayed at some people we knew's house for the majority of the time we were there. We went off and did like a 4-day excursion across the island. But the majority of the time we were on the West Coast in this little town called Rincon. And in not, you know, in as blunt of terms as he could say, I told Chud X this yesterday, Deborah. Puerto Rico is a weird place where it's kind of the United States, but it looks like, you know, it's pretty much like Mexico. Uh-huh. And if you want to better yourself, if you're from there, you kind of got to leave. So that's why there's this massive, you know, Puerto Rican populations on the East Coast and in the Midwest and stuff. Not so much in California or where we are, but So he said the people with a lot of drive and a lot of like the more intelligent people leave. And then the people that are left there are kind of the below average 84 IQ, just kind of dumb people. And, you know, I mean, from what I saw, that seemed to kind of be true. But yeah, it's a weird place.
So I got a question. You in San Juan, you said it's a 500-year-old city.
Yeah, we went to this big fort there.
Yeah, that's
it's supposed to be built on a star fort. So we went and checked that out. That was really cool.
How about general architecture? Is there older buildings?
Yeah. It looked
like the French Quarter.
Yeah, it looks like the French Quarter. Photos. It's that whole like you know, European, colonial, Spanish, French, Dutch, whatever. That they had, you know, it looks like Cuba or, but it was pretty cool. We were there on Mother's Day. It was really, really busy. It's weird though, because you can tell it's, I don't know if we didn't colonize it, but we have control of it. And it's got a lot of major problems because of our influence there. I guess like 40% of the island is on welfare. It's weird because it's you're in like a third world country essentially, but it's really, really expensive.
Do people there vote?
I mean, they can't vote. I don't think they can vote.
They're not, because they're not a state.
Yeah,
but
that's what I would think.
But they have to pay taxes, I'm sure, and do everything else.
They don't pay income tax.
Uh-huh.
Mm, okay.
So that's why there's all these like crypto guys there. Mm-hmm. And like there's a big community of people there who essentially hide their money and don't pay taxes there. And it's really corrupt, I guess. But yeah, it's expensive. It's more expensive than like to do anything. Like I said yesterday on Feed the Beauty, it's to go out to any meal there was, whether it was lunch, dinner, or breakfast, was $50 to get something. And we spent, you know, over $100 on meals multiple times there, just the two of us. And it wasn't, I mean, it's not like the best culinary place in the world. We had some good seafood and stuff, but I don't want to talk too much shit. We had a great time and got to hang out on all these beautiful beaches. And I really had a good time hanging out with Emily, and we really needed it, but I don't think I'll be returning.
You had, I heard that you had beautiful clear skies.
Yeah, there was, I'm consciously looking up now. And it did not seem like they were being sprayed. Sky was dark blue, and yeah. So I can't really remember exactly what Mitch said, but maybe chemtrails aren't dumbing people down, but you know.
Hey, speaking of Mitch, if you don't mind me changing subject a little bit.
Yeah.
Boy, has my view of the landscape changed since we talked to him. I am noticing cell towers like I never did before. I'm noticing some certain things like it's amazing out in the county how many of them are located next to water storage tanks. Like massive, like if I see a water storage tank, or I think, oh yeah, I remember where there's a big water storage tank, I drive out there, I'm almost guaranteed that there's going to be a cell tower on that property right next to it, which is just an interesting observation. But then within that too, I'm starting to notice these 100%, you know, like before I would notice them or not, but I didn't like think about them too much. Wasn't paying attention to how frequently I saw them, or, you know, like, are they close together, far apart, up high, down low? I'm noticing all these things now. But I noticed in the city that I live next to, that I work in, I was like, there's no towers anywhere. I'm just not seeing them. Until I finally noticed two of them on top of an older, tall building. Just no tower, just right there at the top of the building. And then my eyes started opening up and I started realizing that on all of the tall buildings on all four sides, we have those rectangular panels like that are on the tower, but on the sides of the building, painted to blend in with the building. And they all have massive amounts of power going to them. I don't know that those are cell tower panels, but boy, it's just amazing. Like all these things, you know, like, you know, you talk about observing the sky, being conscious of the sky. Like at one point I didn't pay any attention to the sky, started paying attention to that, started noticing all kinds of things, started paying attention to architecture, started noticing all kinds of things. Now another one is being entered into all of this of cell towers. And it's just, it's quite something to observe, whatever it means.
What are the towers that they make to look like trees? Are those aren't cell towers, are they?
I think they are.
Are they?
Yeah.
Okay, I wasn't sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because those are all over the place.
Mm-hmm. And then I've got a question about that too, just in general, like why, I mean, I see those and I see the ones that aren't disguised and I don't see any difference. Like why are some disguised and others not, you know? Like, I don't know. For one thing, the disguises are not very good. They look like crap.
Yeah, they look like Lego trees is what I describe it as.
And some of those are out on their own with no other trees. Other ones
that I haven't seen.
Other ones are not disguised in a cluster of trees. Like, I don't know. I'm just not seeing the pattern yet anyway.
No consistency.
Mm-hmm. It's a... You know, you ask, are those cell towers? I mean, I kind of think they all are, but they seem to, this is another observation too, is no two seem to be exactly the same. I don't see any two with the same exact setup. They're all just a little bit different. So I don't know, you know, I don't know. It's weird.
Yeah, I haven't had a chance to really get out and look. And yeah, most of the days I just stay out here and work on the farm. So I'm not driving around too much to check it out. But
and I bet you don't have too many in your area either.
Yeah, there's a there's like a nuclear, I don't know if it's a nuclear plant. There's a power plant by us though.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe I could go do some work there. Who knows?
That's one place I saw a bunch. Because we're near Intalco and Phillips 66, like some huge refineries and Alcoa.
Yeah, Deborah's by a whole bunch too.
Yeah, Chevron. And
to the power that goes out to those cuts through, comes all the way from Ross Dam, which is, you know, kind of halfway between here and Seattle and quite a ways east. Huge dam. And it runs this huge set of power cables that just cut through everything. I even have a friend who raises sheep on property that they go right through. But then near my old house out closer to here, there's a huge, huge, huge substation that those all run into. And then they go from there out to all the refineries. And when I drove past there, since talking to Mitch, I noticed there's about 20 cell towers, panels, those rectangular panels, like on a cell tower, on top of these power things, just sprinkled throughout this whole complex of this mega substation. It's interesting.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. We lost an American hero this week.
We sure did.
Well. Randy Weaver died, Deborah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, you know why you didn't know?
Because I don't.
Because it's not reported anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
I saw a meme about it on Instagram and I looked it up and it's on Google. I looked up on my phone and it's the only thing that came up was his Wikipedia page and it didn't have like the death date updated on it.
Wow.
Weird, huh?
Do you know what the cause of death?
He was 74. He had a hard life. Yeah. Dude was in Vietnam, smoked cigarettes probably, you know?
Wow.
So yeah, it's a sad story, you know.
It really is.
It's the one that really probably that and Waco, which are kind of one and the same
That's one continuous story, really, yeah. Because it was the aftermath, from my understanding of it, the aftermath of Ruby Ridge is what put the ATF into the position that they said they needed to make themselves look great.
Yeah, it was supposed to be an ad campaign for how good they are.
Yeah. And it was all the same culprits, I believe. If I understand correctly as well, the same ATF officers and
Lon Horiuchi, that guy shows up everywhere. He's the sniper that shot Vicky Weaver in the head.
Mm-hmm. Older baby,
absolutely brutal, just brutal what they did in both cases.
Yeah, and when you look it up on Google, first thing that comes up is a Wikipedia page, and the Wikipedia says Randy Weaver was a white supremacist, white nationalist, survivalist who was involved in a 11-day standoff with the FBI or whatever. And so even if that was true, which I don't think is all the way true, I don't think it was all the way not true either. I don't think he was a huge fan of Black people, but even if that was true, the fact that people would be are good riddance, you sawed off shotguns and were a white supremacist, you deserve to die. Man,
he didn't even want to saw that shotgun off, though.
He was so desperate. He was so broke that he sawed it off for some dude who was an informant,
And he even didn't, he was in, if I understand, it's been a little while since I've reviewed Ruby Ridge, but he tried to do it at the legal length. And they kept saying, nope, we want it here. And they kept pointing and saying, we want it here.
Quarter inch, man.
Yeah.
Got his son and his wife for a quarter inch, man.
That's so fucked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It hurts my heart. But yeah, we went, Emily and I drove up there last summer when we were in Idaho.
Yeah. Right before we met.
Yeah. It's got a real, real somber tone. It's all there is there now. You go, if you look it up on Waze or whatever, it takes you there, it takes you to a little Forest Service picnic area. There's no mention of it at all. There's a hiking trail and a logging road, and I guarantee you they probably just went in there and demolished everything after that was over. And
where did he live after that?
I'm not sure where he went after that. I know he was from Iowa before they moved to Idaho. And, he was like, oh, the government's going to come for us. We got to get out of here. So they moved to Idaho and the government came for them. And
I'm wearing the appropriate shirt for this conversation, too. My life in the woods has been ruined.
Yeah. But, it had a real heavy, heavy feeling there. It was a weird, eerie place, and I could definitely feel it there. So, but I'm happy we got to go there. We got to leave some flowers and, that's the kind of thing that, radicalizes people, I think. So kind of weird that they're rolling out that. I don't know if you remember, Deborah, at that time, they were doing the whole domestic terrorist thing for the first part one,
Yeah.
And now we're kind of in part two. So you said that, in the pre-show that's available on our Patreon, you said that that I talked about how we're kind of getting a reprieve for the summer, and you said it's kind of ramping up again where you're at. What's going on?
Well, there's been lots of stuff in the local news about the schools are seeing uptick in cases, and 20 schools in Marin County alone have had 20 students each homesick. And
how are they judging that? Are they testing at schools, or they're just like, these kids are coming down with the snivels, their parents are testing them, and then they're keeping the kids home and they're reporting it?
That's a really good question. And I don't know if we'd get a real answer.
Do you know do kids have to test at school?
Probably. I'm sure that any kid who has, a sneeze or a cough is, taken to the nurse's office and given a test. I don't know that to be a fact, but that's my guess. But so they're talking about, you know, masking up again in the schools, and a lot more people around here are wearing masks.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a bummer. Here, I, over the last 2 years, have pretty much eliminated going to the store for myself. I have with my lovely wife, Lanny. She takes one for the team and does most of our shopping. I go to hardware stores, you know, farm supply, that kind of stuff. And that's, I think that's a different ball game. But for Mother's Day, I went into Fred Meyer, which is a Kroger. And that was my first time going into one of those stores in quite some time. And I kind of wasn't remembering or thinking about masks at all as I walked in there. Maybe a little beforehand, I went, oh, yeah, this is great. I don't have to worry about that. And I didn't. But I was very dismayed. I mean, I'd say 50%, an easy 50% equal customers and employees, half the employees, half the customers, just fully masked. Couple people with gloves on.
You know? Man, the glove thing was wild to me. It's a little kid, you know, it was a little 8-year-old kid running around with plastic gloves on. Yeah, that's mm-hmm. That's the one thing that I saw, like, a little baby, like a 2-year-old baby, like passed out in a stroller with a mask on, man. And it just hurt my heart. Mm-hmm. Luckily where we're at, it's not happening, you know?
Right. You're in the boonies though.
Yeah.
That's a safe place when it comes to this kind of stuff.
Yeah. I think Portland's still pretty heavily done up, but man, I'll tell you what, Puerto Rico makes Portland look like Tampa, Florida or something like that, man. It's crazy.
It's that much more there than Portland, yeah. I'd say.
Wow. Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, we got the first place I ever got asked about whether I was vaccinated or not. Hmm. You know, was the hotel that we stayed at in San Juan.
Interesting.
And did I go
crazy.
Someone that I was with tried to tell them that we were both vaccinated and that we didn't have our cards with us. And I was just like, I just go, no, I'm not vaccinated. I'm not going to lie about this shit. I'm not, mostly because I don't want people to think I'm vaccinated.
Yeah. Right.
I look down so immensely on people.
Yeah. Plus in a certain way, at least in a social sense of things, you're feeding the problem.
Yeah. That's why I don't have fake stuff, you know.
That's exactly why I would never have a fake passport as it stands now.
But the girl goes, we were like, we got to town early and they said we could leave our bags there. We were going to go walk around and before we could check in. And the girls, I go, so what does that mean? Does that mean we can't stay here? Because it didn't say anything on the website about vaccine. And she goes, oh, no. They'll just take your temperature when you come back. I was like, oh, all right. And then we come back 4 hours later as a different person working. We just walk right in, you know. Right. It's, I came to the conclusion that they want that white people go there and they think that white people want to hear that they're requiring that, you know, it makes them feel good.
Sure.
Uh-huh. So, you know, it didn't matter, you know, but yeah, that's the first time I've been asked besides that when my company asked me and I told them they'll never know.
You know, I just realized as you were talking too, that I've never been asked. Well, yeah. I guess I have by family and by, yeah, only family as individuals. Hey, did you get vaccinated yet? Like, do you know me?
Yeah.
But yeah, no business has asked me, that's for sure. But that's partly by my design of that I don't go places that would ask in the first place.
Yeah.
They ask at music venues here, small or large. You have to show your...
It's required.
It's required.
Oh, go ahead.
No, you go.
I was going to say, there's about a dozen music venue bar type places that have band together in my area that all require passports, or I think there's other workarounds, but they do it. and they're very open about it. That, you know, it's us. We're the 12 good businesses that you can come to because we're requiring this. And I just went, oh, okay. So I'll never go to any of these places ever again. Like, even if they get over that and quit doing it, they're off the table. I'm done supporting them.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know I've gone out a couple times in Portland, and not to any music places or anything like that. But I've been to restaurants there and nobody asked. Uh-huh.
Yeah. They're not asking at restaurants here yet.
It's weird. I wonder why.
Yeah.
I wonder why it's just the music venues.
Maybe because they figure people are closer together. I don't know. It is.
Yeah. In Puerto Rico, I saw the meme. I saw the guy with no motorcycle helmet with the mask. Did you ever see those memes going around? Uh-uh. It's just some guy stopped at a stoplight not wearing a helmet on a motorcycle. Just retarded. You know, sorry if any of our listeners do that. You should please wear a full face motorcycle helmet. You know, I'd be dead 20 times over, or at least like not have a face if I didn't do that. And yeah, I saw it like four times in Puerto Rico. It was fantastic. And then it was a real treat on the way home, on the flight home from Puerto Rico. We flew to New York, and then like all the Puerto Ricans on the plane wearing it. And on our way there, Emily sat in between these two kindly old Puerto Rican ladies, and they told her some places to go, stuff to do, but they were both wearing masks. And then like when we were getting off the plane, one of them said to her, you know, people here wear masks. It's a sign of respect that you have to do it. And Emily goes, I could tell like she didn't want me to hear and like freak out, you know, but I like heard it. And she didn't mention it, but on the way home from New York, we flew to Seattle, and I got a real treat. The two guys, diagonal, one seat up from me and one seat in front of him, both guys, different dudes, weren't with each other, both wearing N95 masks. And JetBlue has like little TVs on the seat in front of you. You can pick movies out. And they were both watching An Inconvenient Truth at the same time.
Oh, yeah.
It was crazy. But yeah, the New York airport was still like, it was different even than Seattle, you know, like it was way more compliant.
Masked. Yeah.
Yeah. And they're still piping over the PA system, even though it's not a mandate anymore. They're still playing the thing like you need to have a mask on over your mouth and your nose. If you don't, you'll receive a $50 fine. Like, and they play that on a loop every 5 minutes at JFK.
But that's a bluff. There's
no, yeah, $50 it's not fine. True. And then like everywhere that's you go low. In the airports. Is the signs are still up about mask mandates and fines, and that you need, you go to like the Puerto Rico Tourism Board website. It says you need a vaccine to get in, or you have to quarantine. Not true. Like all the old stuff is still up, and it's
they're like, we just haven't gotten around to
it. It's not a coincidence that they're not taking it down, you know?
Yeah. They can't, they don't, you know, they're short on help because everybody's home with the COVID.
Yeah, it's so just
that's why the signs are up.
So wild that they're doing it. And have you guys gotten in? I know Deborah hasn't. Have you looked into any of the Pfizer dump, Chud?
No, I haven't.
While I was there, I was at our friend's house. He's like a older guy than me. He's a crypto dude, and he somehow got into this Telegram chat that does like a weekly Zoom call, and it's these dudes that are like full-on billionaires. He's well off. I don't know how well off. He's not a billionaire, I know that. He might have millions, I don't know for sure, but they're in this the group is called COVID Capitalists, And it's like these dudes, like the former head of the New York Stock Exchange was in this Zoom call. Whoa. And he like let me sit in on this Zoom call and just watch. It was like an hour and a half long. They have a weekly Zoom call and they talk about how to make money off this thing.
Now, how did you get into that?
The guy whose house I stayed at in Puerto Rico is in it.
Wow.
And he's like, oh, they're all like really nice guys. Da, 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 da. I'm like, yeah, I'm sure. Like if you went and hung out with them, they'd probably be cool and nice to me, you know, but I don't think you're not a lizard person at that level, no matter what, you know, right. Just, I mean, that's what people say when they talk about Donald Trump. They're like, I hung out with him and he made me feel like the coolest guy in the world. You know, he was such a nice, personable guy. But it's like, nah, the lizard person. You know?
He's a lizard.
But all these guys have made tons of money on investments, you know, during this whole thing. That's what this whole group's about. They're all shorting Moderna. So that means in the real short explanation of it, they're all betting on Moderna to fail.
Okay.
So any reason why?
Yeah. Why do you think?
Well, wait. The company to fail?
Yeah. To lose massive amounts of money on their stock shares for their stock to plummet. Billionaires, guys that do that for a living, you know, make money off that.
Smart the finest dudes. Form of gambling.
Yeah. So what you do is you buy shares. I'm going to probably mess it up, but it's what the guys did with people were shorting GameStop, expecting it to fail. And then the guys on the internet, all the guys like us, got together and like, hey, they're shorting the stock. If we all buy it, it'll skyrocket and all these hedge fund dudes will fucking lose their shit and we'll make money. So it's like killing two birds with one stone, you know? What you do is you buy you buy shares at a, I can't explain it right now, but you're betting on the shares to go down and you sell them. You agree to sell your shares at a later date for the current price, I think. And then you wait for them. I can't
explain it. It's something I had my head wrapped around it at the GameStop time.
Yeah, I did too.
These guys on the Zoom call, are they buying or are they shorting the Moderna?
They're shorting Moderna. They're betting on Moderna to fail.
Okay. So they're betting on it to fail. Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, it was pretty interesting. So we'll see how it goes. And they were all like, it was weird. They were all awake on a level kind of like us, you know?
Mm-hmm. They're a different class or maybe even breed of people.
Yeah. They all seem like nice, fun dudes to hang out with. But yeah. And then there were some like younger crypto dudes in there. And a bunch of them lived in Puerto Rico too. And they were all, you know, talking about stuff that came out and Peter McCullough and all that stuff like that, you know. So like, but they'd read the documents and. But yeah, there's a whole bunch of stuff in the. I asked John Brisson if he'd read any of the Pfizer stuff. And he said he hadn't really gotten around to it yet. But there's stuff in there where like they said that pregnant nursing mothers, it was safe for them to take the Pfizer medicine, that it was based on a study done with like 44 rats. And no humans, like, and it's, you know, we're seeing, I think they say it's like, we're seeing something like 12% efficacy or something like that.
So that's really low.
Yeah.
How crazy. How many people are still getting shots?
I don't know. I don't know. Are they offering fourth boosters to people?
I think that's around, but I mean, how many people are getting the first shot right now?
Yeah.
Is anyone?
I would think if you haven't at this stage, you have a damn good reason not to.
Yeah, you're not going to start. I mean, I just can't imagine anyone being like, I wasn't into it all the way until May of 2022. And then it dawned on me, I should start. I would say go get vaccinated, but no, I should start getting vaccinated now because it would take a while to catch up. I mean, if you need four.
Yeah,
I assume you can't get just like the quad shot where they give them to you all at once.
Well, I think that what they say is the effect. I can't say this word.
Efficacy.
Yeah. Runs out, and so you need a boost.
So, would you be able to skip 2 and 3? I mean, I know we're not experts. I'm just kind of pondering out loud.
I don't know.
Because
no, you skip 3 and 4.
You'd skip 3.
Don't you need the second to make it work? Isn't the Johnson & Johnson, didn't it get pulled again?
Oh, I've heard like, that's been pulled again.
Or like they said, yeah, you can't do that one anymore unless you're a minority or in a poorer country. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
Makes total sense. That's so low.
It's so crazy. I'm glad I stayed the course, you know. Mm-hmm. It was so intense. I mean, it was never even a question for me, but it was so intense there for a little bit.
Yeah, when your job is, you know, threatening and all that, mm-hmm. that's.
Yeah, there was a long stretch there where I had to stay radio silent about vaccine stuff at my job. Not because there was any requirements. I mean, my boss never ever would have made me get a shot, but just the social pressures of it, the way people talked about it, you know, I mean, it was, oh God, it was just mind blowing, you know, like we'd have people who didn't work there stop in and just be asking everyone, did you get vaccinated yet? Did you get it? You know? And it's just like, I don't know. Do you have AIDS?
It's none of your damn business.
You know, like what can you tell me anything about your medical history? I'm just curious, you know, like the idea that anyone could ask that they could feel okay asking it, but it was like fun, you know, but I think that they were looking for people to be like, yeah, cool. Hey, high five. We're all,
yeah.
Vaxxed.
Which one did you get? Oh, we got the same one. We're yeah. Pfizer friends.
We're jab buddies.
We're Moderna mates. And yeah, Pfizer friends.
Right.
But there's like all the Johnson & Johnson ones are just, you know.
But I could feel, I knew that if even if they were just having fun and asking, if I was like, nope, then it would be like, you know, pull the needle off the record and, you know, well, why not? You know, it would like start a whole thing, which I would be into if I thought I had any ground to stand on to make anybody like think about this and like, but all it would be a shit fest of someone being upset with me for not going with the crowd.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, I'm glad it's, well, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know if they're going to keep, I mean, I've seen all this stuff with like Bill Gates talking about how they knew it was just like the flu in 2020 and that they knew it was only old people were going to die. And
guess what? Man. I did too.
Yeah.
Bill Gates said that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh.
Why does that surprise you, Deborah?
That if you're not an old person, you don't need to worry about it. Am I hearing
is what he said. Yeah.
That seems totally counterintuitive to him.
Well, you see now, he's not really admitting that he always knew it. But he's saying that it always was the case. We just didn't know it back then. So we were saying, well, the words that came out of our mouth were the cautious words that we needed to say to you to make sure that this didn't turn into something bigger than it did / bigger than it could,
because
as it turns out, because it was just the
dumb.
Flu.
because you're just a normal dumb person.
It's well, you know, it's crazy too. Like I just talking about my work, everyone was just sick recently. Everyone except for me. Like I think every single person there was sick in the last, you know, 2 months, and they all had a cold. That was what they said. They said we have a cold, which is cool. You know, yeah, that's what.
Don't
from my perspective, that's all anybody ever had in the previous 2 years to this as well. But it's like, I don't know. Are colds back? Are we allowed to have that? Isn't it crazy that no one had a cold for 2 years? You know?
Yeah.
You know what the response to that is? It's because everybody was wearing a mask.
Sure.
So they're not spreading those germs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's even funnier to me too, is a lot of them came to work sick and they just wore a mask. And now that's okay. Like, I don't know. it's all so bizarre to me. Because I mean, if you'd asked me in 2018 or 2019, like, you know, what's my opinion of what someone should do if they have a cold? I'd say, you know, stay home, don't go to work, try not to spread that around, because those were words that I would have used back then. Try not to spread that around, stay home and, you know, drink some broth and get lots of rest and then come back to work as soon as you're feeling better. And then all of a sudden, you know, COVID happens and it's, hey, we need to shut the place down for 2 weeks anytime someone doesn't even have symptoms but tests positive. And then we come around to 2 years later and it's people back to coming to work sick, which I wouldn't have really approved of before this. You know, I would have said, nah, just stay home. We got you covered. You know, like, you know, you're miserable anyway. Just stay home. Like you'll heal faster, not being on your feet, not staying busy all day. Just, you know, heal yourself. But they're not healing themselves. They're just wearing a mask, which is going to make anything. If you're having a respiratory problem and you're covering your mouth, that's no good from my perspective. And they're coming and they're working through it. They're coughing inside of their masks, which is ridiculous to be wearing in the first place.
Yeah. It's fun to watch people that do still do it. Like what it's fun to watch their like process, like what they do when they take it off for,
yeah.
You know, on the plane and in Puerto Rico, I saw people at restaurants and on the plane eating, taking it off and putting it on between bites and sips. Mm-hmm. Like people at restaurants in Puerto Rico were doing that. Spanish speaking people.
That is so bonkers to me.
Yeah.
It's
well, it's really not any more bonkers than, you know, wearing it as you walk through the restaurant and get to your table and take it off. I mean, it's
exactly the same. It's equal levels of, well, I don't know. Maybe no, it goes up it's a notch crazier. To pull it down, well, take a drink.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what the governor of your state said you're supposed to do, Deborah. The one that you voted for after in the recall election.
It's so true. That guy, my opinion of that guy is so low, especially because of that. What was it? The French Laundry that he went to and all of that kind of stuff. I mean, that was like a really, I thought that should be a really important thing at the time that everyone should pay attention to, because look, everybody. These people are not afraid.
Yeah.
They're not afraid. They've got you afraid, but they are not afraid. And, but nobody
viewed it that way.
That takeaway. Mm-mm. And I mean, even like the conservatives were just like, hey, he should be wearing a mask. If he's going to tell everyone else to wear a mask, he should wear a mask too. And it's like, no, what he did was perfectly fine. And it shows all of his cards. It shows his hand that he is not afraid of this. This is he knew, just like Bill Gates knew, that this was a flu. And knew that he could.
Pelosi
too. Mm-hmm. Oh, and even, remember her and a hairdresser? Mm-hmm. And she blamed the hairdresser for telling her she could take it off. No, she told me I could. And it's like, yeah, but you're the one who told her that she can't have her, she can't tell her customers that they could take it off. Like, how did you miss that one?
Yeah.
You know, like, shouldn't it be on you? Shouldn't these people, I mean, I believe strongly in on every level, macro to micro, that you should lead by example. If you're going to tell someone what to do,
you then better you be
doing the same thing. Like, if I'm going to have someone out to help on my gardens and things like that, and I say, hey, I want you to do it this way, and then I'm over here doing it completely different, like, that doesn't make any sense to me. If I say, this is what I want you to do, and then I turn around and I do exactly what I just explained, that makes sense, because I'm leading in this case and I'm going to lead by example.
What if you tell people that you'll never perform in a comedy club that requires vaccine mandates, and then you do it like a couple weeks later?
Yeah, that'd be stupid. Who are you talking about?
Huh? What are you talking about?
Oh, there's just like a famous comedian in our space that did that exact thing. So
was that ST?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Yeah. I guess I've heard people say that, but
yeah,
I don't know. I don't follow his drama very much.
Yeah.
I like him when I like him, and I don't when I don't. That's it.
Yeah.
Well, and with Alex Jones and Eddie Bravo on Tinfoil Hat. Did you catch that one?
Yeah, that was
the most recent one.
Man, Alex Jones was so drunk.
He was so hammered. And he said that at the end of his time on there, he said the most important thing right now was flat earth.
Yeah.
Which is pretty amazing, because that guy's always been pretty anti-flat earth, I've noticed.
Yeah, he said he wanted to organize an expedition to Antarctica.
Yeah, I hope they do. That's all I'll say.
Yeah. Eddie Bravo's like, we should do it. But it won't be us getting to Antarctica. It'll just be all the stuff that them saying why we can't go to Antarctica.
I'll tell you, if someone wanted to put the money into it, I don't know if Alex Jones is the guy to do it. But if someone put the money to make a documentary, we're making a documentary. I mean, maybe even make the initial statement. We're going to make a documentary of us going to explore Antarctica because we want to prove that the Earth is round even. Someone should make that, because I think it would turn into exactly what Eddie Bravo is talking about.
Yeah.
You'd be documenting not red, being able to do
red it. Tape upon red tape upon red tape, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So.
Maybe National Geographic should tackle.
Yeah.
It. Yeah. They've got, at least they have credibility.
Yeah. Not with us.
But they, with the world at large.
National Geographic, which is now a TV station within Disney Plus, and they're the ones who control all the dinosaur bones. Yeah, they're cool.
Really?
Yeah, they don't really. I think it's actually more the Smithsonian, but between the Smithsonian and National Geographic, that's where your most genuine information about dinosaurs is going to come from. It's pretty wild.
What's your favorite dinosaur, Deborah?
I don't have a favorite.
No. Mm-mm. What do you think, dinosaurs have feathers?
Well, you know, they say that they are birds are the descendants of, so.
Yeah, chickens. Chickens are dinosaurs.
Uh-huh.
That's what they say. I've actually had someone on my property looking at my chickens, and he was just like, man, isn't it just amazing that this is what dinosaurs evolved into? It continued on about, like,
he's gonna say it.
think about where we could end up in another 10 million years. You know, like, we have no idea what humans will evolve into if the mighty dinosaur evolved into a chicken.
Well, how did those chickens survive the meteor that?
That's a really good question.
The cataclysm that sent our world into a whole other direction.
It killed off all the dinosaurs except
the one with
the ones with feathers.
The recessive chicken gene.
Because chickens are so smart, they knew how to outrun it.
They laid their eggs in a really clever spot in it.
Yeah, they weren't going into their nesting boxes to lay their eggs because they're bad chickens, and their owners couldn't find their eggs because they were out in the blackberry bushes.
Uh-huh. But you know, there was no sun for all these. I don't know how many years it was dark, right? Because of all the
that's what they say
dust if there was, and whatnot.
If there was an event like that. Yeah, it would have blacked out the sun for a long time. Hey, okay. Since we're just talking about kind of random stuff, you guys ever hear of the Carrington event?
The Carrington event.
It was an event in the, I want to say like 1865, you know, right around that Tartarian Great Reset time, Adam.
Yeah.
Where they say... So I first heard about this probably on like History Channel or Discovery or something back in like 2005. And they said it was like about the sun, like some dumb program, not a very reliable program. And Nova, I don't remember what it
probably
was.
Probably Nova.
Maybe Nova. Yeah. Something along those lines. And it was like all about the sun. And they talked about this event that happened called the Carrington event, where there was a solar flare that lit up our sky in the middle of the night. Farmers woke up at 3 a.m. and went to go milk the cows, thinking it was, you know, 5 or 7 a.m. whatever time the sun was supposed to come up, because the sky was lighting up. But it turned orangish hue and stayed that way for 3 days before subsiding, and it never got dark and it never got light for 3 days.
Wow.
And this I don't remember his first name, John Carrington, I think it might have been, was the astronomer who was observing the sun and saw the sunspots and came to the conclusion that this was a solar flare that had, and this was supposed to be global and written about in journals in every country, every continent, kind of a thing. This is what I learned way back then. And that always stuck in my head. I always liked that. When I get into the deeper side of conversations about crypto and things like that, I'm always like, yeah, but what if there was a Carrington event? Because part of that too is that there were telegraphs at that time, right? It was about all we were using electricity for regularly, and they all blew up. They all blew up when the sky turned that color. They threw sparks, they caused fires. This solar flare fucked up the electrical grid. Which was tiny at the time, right? Tiny little electrical grid, but it destroyed it. And part of that program was fear-mongering, saying that if there was another Carrington event today, it would wipe out all electricity globally, and it would take us 100 years to get back to where we're at, because we wouldn't have any electricity to begin building the things. And this would include your car, anything electrical, anything, not, you know, engines would still run to whatever degree, but you wouldn't have, you know, your spark plugs and, you know, all these other components.
I mean, everything's computerized and chips and stuff now. Yeah. In cars.
Right, so. Right. It's even farther than it was when I watched this in like 2005 or whatever. So I've thought about that on and off without ever looking too deep into it throughout time. Our friend Emmanuel Kingman brings it up. It's one of his evidences of apocalyptic Book of Revelation happening back in 1865 or whatever. But I just heard Howdy Mikowski. He was on with False Reality Check. And he said that the Carrington event was never mentioned anywhere in any book until the year 2000. And I was like, huh. That's weird, because I brought this up a lot of times and not very many people seem to know about this event.
So just was the implication that it never happened, or
he didn't go there. He didn't say what that means. I think he was talking about Mandela effect at the time.
Yeah.
So when I got home that day, I pulled out my 1958 Encyclopedia Britannica and I looked up Carrington, and there is no Carrington event in there. However, there is this, I think it was again John Carrington, the astronomer, talks about how he studied sunspots. you know, it's got, you know, a small paragraph about this sun study, or doesn't mention anything about the Carrington event whatsoever. But now it's got me like, I really want to know, was this a recorded event or not? Is this something that was fabricated later? I mean,
you know, it was in the late 1800s.
Yeah, I want to say 1865.
So what's your thoughts on if it never happened, inventing it in the early 2000s?
Well, that program I saw, it got inside my head in a fear-mongering kind of way. The power grid could go down kind of concept, sort of a cyber polygon. You know, it was, as cyber polygon came about, Carrington event was, you know, came right to mind. Like,
yeah, and what's the original one right before that too? Y2K.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Same
getting
type
that,
of
getting that in your brain.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Were you guys scared of that when that happened?
Have I ever told you my Y2K story?
What were you doing on Y2K? I was high out of my mind on mescaline microdots.
Holy shit.
My neighbor gave me three of them. I was in Chico, California. I was 20 years old. The whole town's shut down because everybody's home for Christmas break. It's a big college town. My neighbor was going to go out to the bar. I was only 20. He tried to get me in and I couldn't get in. He said, I got these three pills for you. I'll buy you 12 packs. I feel bad. And these three pills, you give me $15 for them and I'll buy you 12 pack too. Keystone Ice. So I got them. He sent me on my way. I thought I was taking muscle relaxers.
Is that what he told you?
I took all three of them. I wasn't a big LSD guy either. I'd done mushrooms a whole bunch, but it was, I don't know, man, I was really on one. Mm. I was at one point sitting in my living room, chain smoking Camel Wides and pouring Keystone Ice down my throat at a velocity that was unheard of even for me at that time. And
so you're by yourself,
flipping back and forth on the TV between The Wall and heavy metal.
The Wall. Oh. What was The Wall?
The Pink Floyd movie.
Oh, of course.
The two biggest like acid movies of our day. And this is the night of Y2K.
Wow. Were you thinking about Y2K at all in that?
No.
Or were you kind of unaware?
I'd heard of it. I was never a big computer guy and I didn't, it's not something that scared me.
So I'd heard about Y2K for a while leading up to it. Because my dad worked in what we'd call today tech. He was a computer programmer, right? And he had mentioned it before as that, like, oh, there's this thing where a bunch of people are concerned that the clocks will reset in computers, that they will go to the year zero. And when it gets to 1999 or 199, and then that it would go to zero. And he said, but that's not a real thing. Even if it did, at worst, everyone would need to go in and update that. It wouldn't like cause any computer to crash under any circumstance, right? So I had this like pretty good foundation of that, like, this is a non-starter. It's not a big deal. Who cares? But I was living in the great city of Las Vegas at the time.
And, I didn't know that about it. I didn't know you'd spent time in Las Vegas.
Yeah, I wasn't there for too long, but I was there for New Year's of 2000, and it was freaking off the hook. I mean, people were like going absolutely bonkers, and Rod Stewart was doing this huge concert. You could hear Rod Stewart everywhere he went. I didn't live like near the Strip, and he was at the Strip, but you could hear it just echoing all through this valley. It was must have been one of the loudest concerts ever performed.
Hi, buddy.
But that day, like as the build up to that evening, I think that morning I was out of coffee, so I went to go to the store to pick up some coffee, and it was March of 2020 in the stores. Like the store, there were hundreds of people there. There were people fighting over bags of food. There was no coffee. Oh, coffee didn't exist. and people were really, really freaking out. And I was like, man, all these people are falling for this bullshit. And as the day progressed, like just more and more, I've seen people losing their minds. People were convinced that the apocalypse was coming, just everyone around me, to the point where by the time it got to like, you know, 10 o'clock at night that night, I was like, man, is the world gonna end? Like, it just felt like it. The energy in the air, people screaming, they were like, I mean, just people rioting and breaking shit everywhere. And you could hear this again, Rod Stewart just kind of echoing all through the place and stuff like that. But I had this moment of like, oh, I think the world's going to end. It might not have anything to do with these computers, but this is what the apocalypse would feel like. Yeah. And like midnight came and went, and yeah, that was that.
Yeah. You thought you were going to be in Babylon for the end of the world.
Yeah, it might. I mean, if that was going to happen, that would have been the place.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would have. Yeah. And that's like, was it 2012? The Aztec
there was calendar that one too.
Said we were all going to.
Yeah. That one, you know, again, before that, some people had set me straight of that calendar doesn't have an end. It's a cycle thing. And we would have been reaching like a reset point on that. And it would have just continued. There was nothing about death or destruction or anything like that that went along with it. 2012, like, cause that was a more specific date. It wasn't the first, like Y2K. It was like December 12th.
Yeah, it was right around Christmas.
Yeah. Like, and I don't think I even noticed that day as it happened.
Yeah. I didn't know I wasn't on that level at that point. No, but I remember seeing there was somebody bought out billboards along the Interstate 80 in Berkeley between Richmond and Oakland.
Yeah.
And that's like the area that's like the worst traffic ever is in that area. It's like, it's bumper to bumper nonstop all the time. And yeah, there was billboards up about it.
Huh. Don't remember that. I probably drove by them, but I don't remember that.
Yeah. Then there's the whole thought that like the Mayan calendar was what, like a little like 10 years off or something like that. So
yeah.
So ooh, it was, yeah, it was oops, about, oops, it was going to happen,
our bad,
you know, and
our bad.
I think a lot of people think it's 10 years off and that 2022 is the year.
Yeah.
December 15th of 2020.
We'll see. Maybe we should do a live cast or something.
You know, the truth is I don't put any money on any dates. Specific future dates. I don't think anyone's ever going to get that right. Unless they were deep state and they knew that they were going to set off the doomsday device or something to that effect. But any kind of prophecy, any kind of predictions, I don't know. And people could be very, very certain and spot on about their math and their path that led them to a date. But I don't think I'll ever believe one of those dates.
Yeah. Yeah. If anything, you could learn anything from the Q people. It's, you know, don't predict stuff that's not going to come true. And if you do, and it doesn't happen, say you were wrong. Don't keep kicking the can.
Comparing everybody is really great. It really is, because they weren't saying doomsday, but they kept giving those dates. I mean, it was pathetic. It was absolutely pathetic. Well, it didn't happen here. It's going to happen here. It's going to happen here. It's going to happen here. That was too much.
Yeah. We've been going for over an hour. I think it's a pretty good little show for our guest not showing up.
What happened to him?
I don't know.
Okay.
Never heard anything. I sent him a couple invites. Maybe we'll reschedule with him. But this was a fun little talk.
Yeah.
This is good.
Yeah.
Very good.
Anything else, Deborah? What else is going on?
Nothing. My dog's barking. He wants his dinner.
Okay.
Come here, well, Cubby.
I guess I'll let you go then.
I want Cubby to be on screen. Come here.
Let's see your pup.
What I kind can't of a dog? Lift him.
Yeah, he's too big.
He's a 75-pound pit bull.
He's
great. Oh,
he's beautiful.
He's got an
IQ of 84. He's kind of like Puerto Rican.
Nice.
I'm gonna get canceled. I'm gonna get us kicked off a Red Rock fan for talking about Puerto Ricans or something. Yeah, we're not on Rockfin. Just kidding.
No, we're not. We don't have to worry about losing our footing with Rockfin.
Yeah, that was that's cool. We did Feed the Beauty yesterday with Moral Bob and his wife Kaylee, with your wife Lanny. Let's talk about the so we did. I did the intro to fermentation with Lanny a couple weeks ago, a month ago or something like that.
Yeah. Yep.
And Deborah, you were supposed to be there. You'd confirmed, and then you just no-showed.
I that's so not true.
It is true. Were you there?
I wasn't there, but I said I didn't confirm it.
Yeah, you did.
We have the documents.
I've got the documents.
Wait a second. Was it the second fermentation one?
No,
because I know I missed the first.
It was the first
one. First one's the only one that has happened online so far.
Okay, but there was going to be a second one, and I said I wanted to. Yeah,
there's a second one.
Sunday.
It is Sunday. This Sunday, March 15th at 2 p.m.
Okay.
And that's Pacific time. And if and you know, Adam, you took a lot away from it, I believe. Even, you know, you already had your head wrapped around fermentation and things like that, but you know, just the whole, because you kind of went over the history of I guess the fear in fermentation and canning. Am I right?
Yep. You know, she talked about that. And yeah, just kind of like a lot of the reasons that people don't get into it is they're scared. They're scared they're going to make people sick. I never had that fear.
Yeah.
I'm willing to fail at stuff no matter what, but right. It was really good. She talked about the stuff you need to do it. It was cool. Like I was on my phone while she was doing it, buying stuff off Amazon. I bought 10 pounds of salt, the good salt that she recommended, that big bucket.
Yeah.
And some of those, I got some more of those spring jars and stuff like that. Or the spring cans. And yeah, it was good. It was it didn't cover. She talked about the salt stuff that she talked about helped. She didn't cover anything that I didn't know, but if I hadn't been doing it for a while already, it would have been so valuable. And it was valuable for me too, because if anything, it just like kickstarted me, and like I went and made sauerkraut immediately after the workshop was done. So yeah. I recommend it to anybody who is experienced or brand new or anywhere in between to get going. And it's just part one, and she's going to start doing more stuff after this one. More.
And it's really great. If you're interested in taking your food security into your own hands and being able to preserve stuff, you know, like a lot of us are doing the homestead type stuff. We're growing some vegetables. Maybe you're not even homesteading, but you got a little garden, you got something. Even just learning this kind of stuff now, when we are not having extreme supply chain issues, I think we are experiencing some supply chain issues right now, but it's not, I mean, I hope that I'm wrong, but I think it's going to get a lot worse. And something that Lanny and I are often saying about all kinds of things in life is every time you do it, it gets easier, and you're going to be so much more overwhelmed if we're in the middle of Y2K and planes are dropping out of the sky and everyone's freaking out at the grocery store. That's going to be so much harder to.
Oh. Everybody froze.
Are you there?
Oh, you guys got me?
There we go.
Yeah.
I froze.
Okay.
Oh, is that what happened?
You guys were frozen, but
and you two were frozen to me.
Yeah, I thought I had such a captive audience. You were just both.
Yeah. Okay. So you were saying, it's going to be a lot easier to make sauerkraut now. Yeah. When you know,
just to start learning the basics of these things, even if you're not doing it for any type of survival or security purposes today, you know, just getting your head wrapped around that kind of stuff. And that's what this one on Sunday is going to be, a repeat of what you did, Adam. But she's going to continue on. She's got another one scheduled for June 5th. That's going to be about beverages. focusing on not so much kombucha, although I'm sure she will, but as she often puts it, kombucha is a gateway ferment that can get you into like kvasses, which we drink a good bit of.
Heard of that. What is that?
It's fermented fruit with it's real basic fruit ferments. I think the most traditional is actually fermented beet juice.
Yeah, beet kvass.
And they become, they're soda. They're sparkling beverages. Like my favorite is strawberry. When we make it with fresh strawberries from our garden, it's absolutely amazing. Tepache is another one that's the same idea, except that's with pineapple. I think she's going to go into ginger and root beer.
Ooh, ginger.
All kinds of stuff like that. She has other ones that aren't scheduled that she plans on doing. And she's done all of these in person with people in our local area. But she wants to do one on fermenting condiments, like making your own ketchup and having fermented ketchup. Because you can make your own ketchup, but you put it in the fridge and it's moldy a few days later, 2 weeks tops. But if you ferment it and set it up properly, it can stay in your refrigerator for a very long time. Mustard and other things along those lines. So if anybody's interested in checking that out, be sure to email Lanny at greenerpostures@protonmail.com. That's postures, not pastures.
Okay.
Yeah. It's $30, I think. And it's well worth it. And I think if you do the first one, then you get a break on any upcoming ones. I don't know. I think that's what she said.
Yeah. And there's also a Telegram group that you can get into, which I assume you're in that, Adam, to whatever degree. I don't understand social media myself, so I don't know what goes on there, but I hear it's great.
Yeah. And so other than that, guys, hit us up on, any place that you want to find us. You can send us some tips on Twitter and stuff now if you want. I got all our payment info up there too. So, hopefully we can reschedule our guest. It was supposed to be Charlie Robinson for his third appearance on the show, but he didn't make it apparently. But
we got robbed.
Yeah, I'm sure it's a good reason. And this was a fun little talk.
This is great. We, Adam, we don't get to talk very often. I mean, that's funny to say because we do this podcast together, but, we have our few minutes at the beginning and then we go into with our guests. And this has been great just talking with you and talking with you, Deborah. This is the first time I've been on with you without a guest.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, this has just been a great talk.
It's good. It's been good.
Yeah.
We've got some good stuff coming up. We got Emmanuel Kingman coming on again soon.
Excellent.
And then I think we're going to go on some other people's shows. We're going to go a False Reality Check. We're going to go on Inquiries of Our Reality, which is a new show that we're going to go on and help out. And
Adam, why are you going up and down?
Because I'm looking at the I got the calendar on the desk here. I'm looking at it because I got to lift the computer up to see what's under it. We got Buck Johnson.
Yeah.
Oh, you guys, we are going to do Sean McCann. Sean McCann is a Stanley Kubrick expert. He's coming on, and I think we're just maybe going to concentrate on Eyes Wide Shut. So let's all three of us watch that before the 26th.
Of May?
Yeah. Well, I don't know if you're going to be able to make it, Deborah. It's at 8 a.m. It's the only time you could do it. The guy works in a factory. He's got a bunch of kids. But if you could make it, Deborah, I think it would be fantastic.
May 26th is a Thursday.
Yeah. So it's Chudex's day off.
Uh-huh.
And no sleeping in for him. But yeah, if we could all watch Eyes Wide Shut first, if we're going to be on the show. And if you go and find him on William Ramsey Investigates, that podcast.
I looked for that, Adam, and I didn't see it.
You didn't see that episode or that podcast?
Oh, I saw that podcast. When I searched his name in my iTunes, it didn't bring up any William Ramsey. It brought up some other things, Cult Rejects and a few other places he's been.
So you haven't found William Ramsey Investigates podcast?
I'm pretty sure I'm subscribed to it.
Oh, okay, but you haven't found the Sean McCann episode.
But I didn't find the Sean McCann episode.
Okay.
I can try a different avenue to try.
He puts out like 10 podcasts a day. So it's kind of hard to find some.
Whoa.
It could have been.
Yeah. He does like these massive drops of like, and then he'll put out a bunch of stuff from like 2018. And then he'll drop like a bunch of old interviews that he with like Dave McGowan and Visigoth from like 2006 and stuff like that on there. Mm-hmm. So, but I'll find it. He's done like he's done the Ninth Gate with him, which is a Roman Polanski, like heavily occult movie with Johnny Depp.
Johnny Depp.
Great movie.
Saw that one.
You should watch it. It's good. Yeah. I bet you they have it on that app you got.
Yeah.
And then he's done, they've done a bunch of Rosemary's Babies one too. And then awesome. They've done Eyes Wide Shut and then just like Kubrick, but they're so, I'm going to have to ask him to like really dumb it down for us. So
cool. That's awesome.
Yeah. But yeah, so we got good stuff coming up and we need to book some more shows. So if you got some cool stuff to talk about or, you know, somebody that wants to talk, let us know. But other than that, guys, thanks for putting up with me on a Friday night. And yeah, hopefully we can get Charlie rescheduled and we'll talk soon. Okay.
All right.
All right. Peace love out. You guys. Peace.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Bye.
I'm not doing this for you. I'm doing this for me. I'm not signed on to killing all those old people or those black babies. Fuck you, motherfucking New World Order. I will get your ass to lay that. It pisses me off. You sign on to playing God, you get burned. And all you dumbasses that serve the New World Order, idiots, playing God all day, deciding who lives and who dies.
Penis man.
And then I find out they're all screwing little kids and devil worshiping. Of course they are. Oh, you're the big elites. Oprah Winfrey and Ted Turner and Bill Clinton and Epstein, all in that 7-story pervert building in New York. What a bunch of freaks. And the fact that those pedophiles, and I'm calling Oprah Winfrey one, oh, she burns in hell. Every damn one of you's a piece of crap. And you're going to be judged. So you just continue to enjoy hurting babies and hurting old people and hurting homeless people and turn us all into a bunch of idiots. Because you will be destroyed.
Mom, I'm transgender.